Okay, let's unpack this. Have you ever stopped to think about why someone would spend, I don't know, hundreds, maybe even thousands on something you can't actually hold, like a digital piece of art or a unique item in a game?
Yeah, it sounds a bit strange at first blush, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But that's the world of digital collectibles.
Exactly. And we've all seen the headlines, right? The crazy valuations maybe rolled our eyes a little bit.
Definitely.
But now, here in 2025, the whole conversation seems to be shifting. It feels pretty significant.
It really does. What's becoming clearer, I think, is that the initial, well, frenzy, the part fueled mostly by speculation, that's starting to give way to something with more substance.
Right.
And our source for today's deep dive, this paper, The Future of Digital Collectible Day in and Thought PDF, it really points towards a genuine evolution.
So our mission today isn't just about looking back at the hype, is it?
No, not at all. It's about understanding the real future here, how these digital things are actually finding, proper uses and becoming part of our lives.
Yeah, because what really jumps out from this article is that it's moving way beyond just like digital bragging rights. Dr. Maya Chen from MIT, she calls it the maturation of the market. And what's driving it? This focus on utility-focused applications.
And you see that playing out, right? Think about big names like Nike, Disney. They're investing pretty heavily.
And it's not just for buzz, is it?
No, it seems like they're building integrated experiences
Yeah.
across entertainment, fashion, gaming, even using them for things like digital identity or corporate loyalty programs. It's broad.
It is. And zooming out a bit, it kind of reflects a bigger shift in how we even think about owning digital stuff.
Okay.
The article points to this company, New Dawn, as a really interesting example. They started with physical books, right?
Right, traditional publishing.
But now they're expanding into, well, a whole range of digital products, tabletop games, digital art, NFTs.
But the key isn't just that they're making more stuff, digital stuff. Exactly. It's about connection. Creating this ecosystem where the digital things and the physical things actually boost each other.
Which brings us neatly to this concept the article talks about, phygital.
Phygital, yeah, it's a bit of a buzzword, but it captures that blurring of the lines, doesn't it, between the physical world and, our digital lives.
It does. J.D. Wong, the CEO of Authentic Blocks, puts it really well. He says, "The future isn't digital only or physical only, it's both."
Makes sense.
Think about those limited edition sneakers that come with a digital version you can wear in like the metaverse or whatever.
Or concert tickets that unlock some exclusive digital collectible afterwards. It's about layering that value.
Adding dimensions.
Yeah, and this phygital bridge, it's so important because it tackles one of the big early criticisms, right? The lack of something tangible.
The I can't hold it problem.
Precisely. So by linking a digital collectible to a real physical item or an experience, you're adding this whole other layer of value of engagement.
And New Dawn seems to be really leaning into this.
They do. The article suggests they're aiming to weave these phygital elements across, well, pretty much their whole product line.
Okay, so how does that actually work? Like they're trading cards, for example.
Right, the trading cards are a great example. So imagine you have the physical card in your hand.
Yep, got it.
It's got a QR code on it. You scan that code with your phone, probably through their app,
Damn.
and boom, like you said, you get a verified digital twin of that card as an NFT, proving you own the authentic digital version.
Okay, that's cool. But is that it?
No, it goes further. The artwork on the card can apparently come alive using augmented reality AR.
So I point my phone at the card and stuff happens.
Yeah, animations, maybe extra details overlaid onto the real-world view through your phone. Plus, you can trade these digital versions on their marketplace.
Ah, okay. A secondary market.
And you can even use these digital cards in their digital tabletop game companion.
Wow, okay. Lots of layers.
And there's more. The physical cards themselves apparently have this thermochromic ink, changes with temperature.
Like those mood rings from back in the day.
Sort of. But here it reveals hidden clues or details on the card itself. It's a multi-layered experience.
That is clever. And what about the tabletop game integration?
That's another smart part. The physical game cards aren't just pictures. Owning the physical card unlocks the actual asset to use in their digital game.
So you can play physically or digitally with the same core asset.
Seems like it. And get this, the article mentions that how your character does in the physical game, if you track it in their app, can actually influence the digital version.
Wait, really? How?
It could maybe level up stats, unlock things,
Yeah.
potentially even lead to getting unique personalized digital cards based on your gameplay. or maybe invites to real-world tournaments or events.
Okay, that is a serious fusion of physical and digital play, really blurring the lines.
Exactly.
And what about book lovers? I mean, New Dawn started with books. Are they leaving them behind?
Not at all, it seems. They're creating these illustrated physical volumes,
yeah,
right? But they come with companion digital stuff.
Like
digital wallpapers, maybe animated scenes related to the book. And what sounds really interesting is that buying the physical book gives you codes to unlock exclusive digital art collections.
Oh, okay. So the physical purchase unlocks digital bonuses.
Yeah. And you could display that art in like a virtual gallery online or use pieces as your profile picture, that kind of thing.
So it enhances the traditional reading experience rather than replacing it.
That seems to be the goal, adding compelling digital extras.
Now, this all sounds potentially quite expensive to implement, all this tech.
Well, that's another interesting point raised by Dominique Louchard from New Dawn in the article. She highlights their focus on affordability.
How?
They're not necessarily relying on super cutting-edge, brand-new, expensive tech for everything. They're smartly using things that are already out there.
Like the QR codes?
Exactly. QR codes, near-field communication NFC tags, which she mentions cost less than 50 cents each when bought in bulk.
Wow, that cheap.
Apparently. And then tying it all together with a unified app ecosystem. It's a pragmatic approach, you know?
Right.
Makes these kinds of blended experiences more achievable, more accessible.
Right, not just for high-end luxury items. Okay, so the article mentions 5 other specific phygital ideas New Dawn is exploring.
Yeah, it gives a glimpse into their thinking. Let's see. There's an idea for collectible bookmark sensor.
Sensors in a bookmark?
Yeah, that track your reading progress somehow and unlock digital rewards as you go.
Huh. Okay, what else?
Limited edition art prints, but with embedded AR markers, so you point your phone and see animated sequences.
Like the trading cards, but for bigger prints. Makes sense.
Then trading card tournament kits. These would automatically generate digital leaderboards based on the physical tournament results.
Oh, neat.
And maybe even mint commemorative NFTs for the participants or winners.
Okay, linking real-world events to digital proof.
Then there's this concept of living lore encyclopedias. Physical books, but you can scan entries.
Let me guess. It updates digitally.
Yeah. Exactly. Reveals updated lore, new content, stuff like that, in the digital version or app. Keeps the physical book relevant longer.
Clever. And the last one?
Physical card sleeves.
Yeah.
You know, the protectors for trading cards.
Yeah.
But with embedded identifiers. These could authenticate your deck for official play, maybe, and even unlock special visual effects for your cards when you play in an online match using that authenticated deck.
Wow. Okay, that's a pretty creative range of applications, connecting physical objects to digital functions in all sorts of ways.
And it all points to this bigger trend, right? Moving beyond just owning a static digital picture file.
Towards smart collectibles.
Yeah, that's the term used. Digital assets that have programmable features, built-in utility.
Like the Festival Pass example, where maybe it evolves over time.
Right, or digital art that subtly changes based on, say, real-world market conditions, or even the weather, or virtual fashion items you can actually wear across different online platforms, not just stuck in one game.
That interoperability point again.
It ties in. And Aisha Johnson, she's the founder of Functional Assets, she makes a really crucial point in the article. People want digital assets that do something.
It's not just about the flex of owning it anymore.
It's about function, engagement, what it enables, and we should probably mention the tech behind this is also getting better.
How so?
Things like layer 2 solutions, basically faster, cheaper networks built on top of the main blockchains and different ways of verifying transactions, alternative consensus mechanisms. They're significantly reducing the environmental footprint. That was a big criticism early on.
That's important. Good point. So utility is key. Phygital is bridging worlds. What else is driving this shift?
Well, another really compelling aspect is how these collectibles are becoming tools for digital identity, for self-expression online.
How so? Compared to, like, my social media profile.
Well, those profiles can be pretty rigid, right? A profile pic, a bio. Digital collectibles offer a richer, maybe more nuanced way to show who you are in online spaces.
Okay. Tell me more.
Sociologist Dr. Thomas Rivera has this great quote about, "Collection is communication. The thing you choose to collect and display digitally, they reflect your tastes, your values, the communities you feel part of."
So my curated NFT gallery says something about me.
Exactly. It's a form of communication, a more dynamic way to showcase your identity than just, you know, listing your hobbies in a text box.
Collection is communication. I like that.
And this isn't just for social stuff. It's extending into professional areas too. Think verifiable digital credentials or ways to prove skills you have represented as a collectible token.
Like a digital diploma or a certificate for completing a course?
Precisely. Owned by you, verifiable by anyone.
Okay, but for all this potential, the utility, the identity stuff, don't these things need to work together, like across different platforms?
Absolutely critical. Interoperability. The ability for these digital items to move smoothly between different apps, games, virtual worlds. That's key for them to reach their full potential.
Otherwise, they're just stuck in silos.
Right. The article mentions the Digital Asset Alliance working on open standards to try and make this happen. Let things move freely.
Because locking things down doesn't help in the long run.
Kenji Yamamoto from Polygon Studios argues exactly that. He talks about the problem with the walled garden approach. If your cool digital sneaker only works in one specific game or platform,
its value is limited.
Hugely limited. He emphasizes the fundamental value of having portable digital property. Assets you truly own and can take with you.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, what about the legal side, the regulation? That was always a bit murky.
It was, and still is evolving, but the article suggests we're seeing clearer regulatory frameworks starting to emerge, especially around distinguishing between a genuine collectible and something that might be classed as, you know, a financial security.
Which is important for legitimacy, right?
Hugely important. And this growing clarity, combined with the utility focus and the digital links, it's all helping pave the way for broader mainstream acceptance.
And getting more established institutions involved.
Yeah, we're seeing that accelerate. Major auction houses like Christie's and Sotheby's are deep into digital art now.
Mm-hmm.
Museums are creating digital twins of artifacts.
Like the Smithsonian example mentioned.
Exactly. Their digital twin initiative for historical objects. Even universities are exploring NFTs for things like diplomas or credentials.
That institutional buy-in, that's a big signal.
It really is. Shows a significant shift in perception. It's not just a niche tech thing anymore.
Of course, it can't all be smooth sailing. The article does mention remaining challenges.
Oh, for sure. And it's important to acknowledge those. Things like, how do we ensure these digital assets last? Long-term preservation is a real question.
Right. Will my NFTs still be accessible in 50 years?
Exactly. And the whole issue of artificial scarcity, creating rarity deliberately in a digital world where you could copy things infinitely, that's complex.
And also the risk of too much power ending up with a few big platforms, controlling the marketplaces or the tech.
That's definitely a concern. Decentralization is a goal for many, but platform power is a real dynamic.
But there's a counter-argument on scarcity.
Yeah, digital philosopher Eliza Rosenthal offers an interesting take. She suggests that in a world awash with infinite digital content, maybe that managed scarcity, even if artificial, actually creates significance.
Makes things feel more special or valuable because they aren't everywhere.
Something like that. It forces us to think more about what we actually value. It's an interesting perspective.
So, pulling it all together, what's the big picture takeaway here? Where is this heading?
Well, it seems the most likely future isn't one extreme or the other. It's probably going to be a nuanced mix. You'll have decentralized ownership elements, but also forms of managed scarcity.
And digital collectibles in some form are probably sticking around.
The article strongly suggests so. Because fundamentally, they tap into some very basic human desires, don't they?
Like?
The desire to collect things, to express who we are, to belong to communities, to participate. Digital collectibles offer new ways to do all of that.
So the tech is just a new medium for old human behaviors in a way.
Pretty much. And ultimately, the ecosystems, the platforms, the projects that really succeed long term, they'll likely be the ones that figure out how to balance the cool technology with those fundamental human needs.
Offering real, genuine value that goes way beyond just hoping the price goes up.
Exactly. Value through utility, through connection, through expression. And that final thought from Dominique Louchard at New Dawn is quite powerful, I thought.
Remind me.
About how building for the future means really thinking about the choices we make today and the kinds of stories we want our creations, our impact to tell about us as humans. It connects everything back to that human element.
That's a great point to anchor on. So wrapping up this deep dive then, what are the, say, two or three absolute key takeaways for you?
Okay. First, the clear shift from just hype and speculation towards real-world utility. What these things do matters now.
Right. Function over just flexing.
Second, the rise of phygital. That blending of physical and digital is creating genuinely new kinds of experiences and value. It's not just one or the other anymore.
Yeah, that bridge feels really important.
And third, I'd say the growing role of these assets in digital identity, how we use them to communicate who we are online, is becoming more significant.
Okay. Utility, digital identity. Got it.
Which leads us nicely into, I guess, a final thought for you, the listener, to chew on.
Go for it.
As our digital lives and our physical lives keep getting more and more intertwined, more blended, what kinds of digital artifacts, what digital collectibles or creations do you think will end up holding the most personal meaning, the most lasting significance for you in the years to come?
That's a really good question. What digital things will truly matter personally? Definitely something to ponder as this whole fascinating space keeps evolving. Thanks for diving deep with us today.